This is the Office Manager Diaries, a podcast all about the highs and the lows of professionals in office management around the world. We'll delve into their career journeys and diaries where they'll share their stories, tips for success, and only things office managers understand. Enjoy, and please remember to give us a follow. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Office Manager Diaries this Friday. We are going with a little bit of a different approach today. It is Elizabeth Clapton, who is my EA and Business Support Manager from the Office Management Group, who is my interviewee. Welcome, Elizabeth, to the Office Manager Diaries.
Hi, Hannah. Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. We have talked about doing this for a while. Elizabeth has been with the Office Management Group for over 6 months now, and it's flown by.
It really has.
Yeah. So we thought we'd give you a little bit of insight into us and what Elizabeth is up to on behalf of the Office Management Group. So yeah, enjoy. Sit down, grab that cup of tea, and enjoy this episode. So Elizabeth, tell us more to start with, if you can, please, about you and your background.
With office management, for example, I kind of fell in. I worked in hospitality for 10 plus years all through my studies. And then I was looking for an admin kind of role. And then that opportunity came with me with the Fat Duck Group. So I was their EA, well, PA for the pubs. It was a kind of twist on the office management side because I had to kind of look after their offices, which were upstairs in their pubs, as well as do all their health and safety, their food alert and all of that. So it was a really crazy time, really enjoyable, very hectic. But then I wanted to go a bit more corporate. So I joined Yotel as their kind of first ever office manager. I looked after their London offices. Very busy, very hectic, lots of international travel, lots of last minute requests, like, can I get the whole team over to Washington on a Sunday? So really mad. Did one office move there. We had three offices dotted around London and I had to move them all into one. So that was very hectic, but we did it successfully. And then COVID hit and unfortunately I got made redundant. Then I moved over to Goodstone Living and was there for a year, did an office move with them, and then took a year off kind of where I was doing the guide dogs as a reception, which was really fun, nice and relaxed. And I also helped the facilities management team there quite a lot. So they really enjoyed having me as a temp. And then I came over to the office management group.
The office moves are so important, aren't they, in an office management role, because you really get to know the business. And even though it's hectic, as you say, it is a really positive project to be involved in, don't you think?
Oh yeah, 100%. Like with the Yotel one, I had complete control, which was really nice. Kind of shut everyone else out and was like, I had HR being like, oh, can you let us know what's going on? And I was like, no, there's too many cooks. I'm dealing with business development, the CEO and the CFO, and then that's it. And that went really smoothly because even though everyone was trying to get their chime in, I was able to kind of shut the door on them and be like, no, this is how it's going to be. Whereas Goodstone, there was definitely too many cooks. Mm. So it did get a bit chaotic because everyone was like, no, I want this. No, I want that. No, we're doing it this way. No, we're doing it that way.
It could be a nightmare. Yeah, too many cooks. I'm feeling the same with some projects I'm running at the moment, as we just discussed off air. So tell me now then, how did we first meet? What was your first interaction with the office management group?
So during my office moves, I really needed something to kind of help me with templates and stuff like that. So I did become a premium member when I was at Yotel, came to an office management show. I also then came to a VIP breakfast at the office management show, and that's where we first met. During COVID as well, we had some discussions about you were advertising for a VA. Yeah. So we were in discussion about that. And then this job came in and I jumped at the chance.
Yeah. It's almost been like fate, hasn't it? Because I was really keen to find somebody to work with me who had an EA background but also had an office management background. And the fact that you were previously a client, essentially, given that you were a premium member and you'd been to some of the events and things and quite actively been part of that network before becoming an employee of it, essentially, it really gelled together quite well, didn't it?
Yeah, it gave me the opportunity to see it from the other side. Mm. So I kind of, when I'm doing my interactions and I'm looking after the portal and I'm coming up with ideas, it really helps that I've kind of been there, done it. I've been to the show as a punter, if you will. I've been to the VIP breakfast. I've used the network. So I know what is needed, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, I think it adds a lot of value to what we do as well, and has that history in terms of your role in office management, but also that as a user of the network. So yeah, and you've come up with some amazing ideas to date and plenty more to come.
Sponsored today by Art in Offices. Art in Offices provide artwork for workspaces to enrich your space, inspire your people, and empower your brand. We work with a wide range of artists in all styles and mediums to cover all price points and project needs. You can also meet our artists and have creative events in your office. Did you know that offices with plants and art see wellness amongst staff go up to 42%? And that has a knock-on effect, increasing productivity by 35%. And that's because an enriched and inspiring workspace makes people happy, and happy people do their best work. If you're curious about putting art into your office, contact us today for a free consultation at www.artinoffices.com. Art in Offices. Art is good for business.
So you joined in October last year, so October 2023.
Yep.
We are recording this about a week ahead of when it's going live, so it's now May. It's hot finally here. We keep moaning about the weather, but if you're overseas, you'll know that that's us Brits for you. But what does a typical day look like for you at the Office Management Group now?
So a typical day, I mean, no day is the same, as everyone knows in EA or office management work. But a typical day for me would be kind of, you know, making sure that all the socials are out, making sure that they all go out smoothly, making sure the interactions with the portal, kind of if people have asked questions, if, you know, partners want information, that kind of thing's been looked after. Obviously, Hannah's diary, the very important Hannah's diary, and making sure that, you know, all of her interactions with her clients and stuff like that go smoothly. And then just kind of looking at what we're going to do in the future. Planning the shows, planning the awards, events, that kind of thing, and kind of looking long term and being like, what do we want?
And even arranging guests for this very podcast that sits Correct. With you, doesn't yeah. it? So, which, if, by the way, you ever want to be a guest on the podcast, please do reach out to Elizabeth because we'd love to hear from you. And I don't think there's any shame in putting yourself forward and telling us that you want to be a guest either, because I think a lot of people shy away from it and think, oh, I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, I do get a lot, when I ask people, a lot of them are like, oh, but I don't know if I had the right experience.
Enough to talk about.
Yeah. Yeah, when everyone does, you know, this podcast is about different office managers from different walks of life. How do they cope? What different industries, what they do day to day? If you've been here for a year or in the industry for 5 years, we want to kind of hear from you and hear your story.
Mm, absolutely, yeah. This is the platform for office managers. So yeah, please don't feel shy and feel like you're not going to be worthy of the pod, because everybody is. It's open to all. So what are you working on at present then? Let's go into more detail on what is on the horizon for you.
So at the moment, I'm working with quite a lot of important partnerships, trying to get them onboarded, trying to make sure that they're interacting with the members, also working on quite a lot of events. We've got like a marketing research members breakfast coming up, which we're really excited about. So I'm kind of planning that. Planning all of our summer events. So we've got our Bristol networking, which we're very excited about. Mm-hmm. First time in Bristol. So if you're a Bristol office manager, please do come along. So that's a lot of planning in that. Obviously the awards, we're nearly there. The countdown is on. Tickets are going very well. Me and Hannah had a fantastic tasting Wednesday.
Yeah.
So yeah, and then kind of just looking forward to next year, planning that. So next year we're going to change things up slightly. The show in April is going to be more of a conference style. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully in the summer, if all goes well, we're planning a way day.
Yeah, we are indeed. Yeah. Yeah. The tasting, to go back to that the other day for the awards, was amazing. It's always a nice perk of planning a hectic event, isn't it? To have a tasting and to choose the food. And hopefully for anyone that is coming to the awards, you'll be happy with our choices. Lizzie is representing the vegetarians of the world out there. So it's on her if you're not happy with the food. But then, yeah, exactly. We are looking at planning the Office Management Conference for April next year. So replacing the show for that particular time of year with a conference. So a full day of learning and opportunities, with some exhibitor sponsor type style format involved in that as well. So more to come, I think, after the awards and our next show, which we've just tied up for September this year, is done. We've always got things going on, always events going on. Yeah, lots of new partners coming on board, aren't there, as well?
Yeah, we've been really fortunate that the word is definitely getting out and we've got some really exciting ones coming up. So keep an eye on those newsletters.
Yeah, exactly. And newsletters, the emails is a big part of your role as well. You do all of those
yep.
through our two different platforms that we use, website updates, like you've mentioned, social media.
Yep.
You work with Claire and our team to do Pinterest, Lisa on the awards. There's all sorts.
Yeah, it's very hectic, but it's enjoyable. I love being busy. I can't stand roles that you just sit there twiddling your thumbs going, okay, what can I do next? This job, you can be very proactive and day just gets filled. Yesterday, I was just looking after the inbox because, you know, after bank holiday and away in London, it was chaotic, but yeah, smashed those emails out.
You did. I was happy with the inbox zero yesterday. Lizzie knows I'm an inbox zero person. I'm like, wow, there's so many emails.
It does. It always, I find having a zero inbox is really handy because it just takes away that fear and you know that you've answered everything.
Yeah, definitely the approach we have. So yeah, the away day, let's talk more about that. What are we trying to achieve, I guess, in your view, with an office management away day?
My opinion, we're trying to achieve, take the office managers outside London away, give them a kind of a couple of days where they can network with each other, build those relationships. I know a lot of them have separate relationships and build really good bonds, but it'd be good to kind of take that to the next level and give them the opportunity to kind of have time for themselves. Relaxation, learning and development would be the core things, I think.
Yeah, and some activities. Yeah, showcase the venue that we work with. There's all sorts going on there. So we know a lot of you have wanted that for some time. So we are trying to get that done on our long to-do list, aren't we? What do you enjoy the most about being part of the office management group? You've mentioned about being busy and proactive. What else is there that you enjoy?
I think it's also like the kind of network that's been built. It is nice having the Slack channel and being like able to interact with the members one-on-one. They know where I am. They can always Slack me and ask me quick questions. That's really nice. So where we are a small team, it doesn't feel like we're a small team because we have all of you guys kind of talking to us every day, which is really nice. Also building those relationships with the partners. I love organising events and that kind of thing. So that's really, really fun as well.
Yeah, the diversity, it kind of ticks a lot of boxes for you, doesn't it?
In terms of
your day and what you can get involved in. And
yeah.
I was just having a client call with two companies for the same office move, complicated story, and then we went on to talking about the awards and then we went on to talking about the podcast and yeah, our conversations literally go from like the most normal to the most random things. And I think we're both a bit, aren't we, with our brains?
We
they just go woo 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 woo.
So. It's my ADHD coming out, where I'm very much like, okay, on to the next thing, but need to finish this thing first.
It's difficult, isn't it? I wonder if I've got some of that going on in me as well sometimes, because I'm a bit like doo, doo, doo. Yeah, there is a lot going on in our minds that we have to catch up on regularly. And you come and work from mine a couple of days a week, so we have that interaction and those kind of touch points essentially, because that's really important. And that was something when I was hiring for this role that was key for me. What's that like for you, where we don't necessarily have the physical office because you come to my house and you work from home the rest of the week? How do you manage with that?
I really like the diversity of it. I'm one of those people that gets kind of, I need routine, but I get bored by routine. So it's nice to have a couple of days in Essex with Hannah and then a couple of days at home. At home, I'm quite strict with myself. So I actually use a timer. So I do half an hour timer, work solidly for half an hour and then take a couple of minutes, quick up, walk around, put the washing machine on and then go back to it. So I'm kind of refocusing myself. So I am quite strict. Mm. And it's nice as well having the opportunity to go to the gym in the morning and things like that.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. And then we have the events and you go in for those as well. It definitely gives that diversity of where you're working and
so
that level of interaction. So let's talk about office managers now. Like I said, you have been in office management, you've done all these different office moves and worked for the companies like Yotel. Why do you think it is that office managers don't get the recognition, having been in that role for yourself?
I think they're not seen as kind of part of the leadership team, and they're not seen as, they are kind of just seen as the admin person. And people don't recognise how important that job is. A lot of them just think, oh, anyone can do it. It's not really that hard. And it isn't when you kind of have a good one that I think that they really appreciate it. Yeah. I was very lucky at Yotel that, you know, I did get a seat at the table quite a lot. I was in those important meetings and I was really helping my CEO kind of navigate the business. And then I've had other roles where I didn't have that and you are excluded. And it's it's hard to do your job when you don't know what's going on, because you'll start preparing for a meeting, then someone will come in and be like, actually, we're not doing that now. And you're like, oh, okay, thanks for telling me. But some people do just see you as admin, none of your business, you don't need to know about it. And I think that needs to change.
Mm. How did you, with the two different jobs that you had there and have mentioned, how did you get a seat at the table at Yotel, or was it just naturally gifted when you got there? And I say gifted ironically, because I think you're right, it should be part of our roles that we are fed information to and we feed information back. Or did you have to work on that to get that seat?
I had to work quite hard on it. I had to be quite vocal and I had to prove myself. The CEO had quite negative experiences with PAs before, so he was very kind of guard up, I only want minimum interaction with you. And then once he saw that I was being proactive and I was kind of doing things for him that he would do himself, but I would do them and he'd be like, oh, thank you. I was very vocal. I would, you know, if he was late for a meeting, I would interrupt him, knock on that door and be like, hey, you've got another meeting coming up. And I'd be like, you know what would work if I was in this meeting taking notes, or if I was doing this. So I was very vocal, and luckily he was very responsive to that. Mm. Whereas other roles, I've been that vocal and kind of just got shut down. You keep trying though, you know, you have to just keep trying.
If at first you don't succeed. Health and safety. So an episode that I had recently, I did mention that I would probably share more tips on health and safety soon and how you can effectively manage this. It is one of those kind of dark, grey, grim areas in our office management roles that not many people enjoy doing. And a lot of people, when we say the word risk assessment, suddenly get risk assessment phobia and think, oh my God, this sounds so complicated and onerous. And especially if you see one with all the different numbers and colouring on it, it can look quite daunting. My advice on risk assessments is to keep it really simple. It is so important to not make your risk assessment onerous, not make it too overcomplicated and difficult to understand or interpret. It is very simply an almost bullet format, not formed, fully formed sentences format, where you are noting down a hazard and the likelihood of that hazard turning into harm, causing somebody directly, because health and safety is all about people, injury, and what level, what degree of injury that might be. So the risk is looking at the likelihood and the consequence. So how likely is it that this hazard will actually turn into harm, and the harm itself that will be caused and the frequency that that may happen as well. So I always give this example when we're doing training. I'm actually doing some more health and safety training with a new cohort tomorrow, but I always talk about this and say that if, for example, you have people working in a factory who are manual handling all day long, and if you almost picture me kind of bending down, picking up a box, lifting it and putting it on a counter, bending down, picking up the box, lifting it and putting it on a counter, if someone was doing that all day long, how can we mitigate that person getting injured or hurt? Well, the first thing would probably be to provide them with manual handling training and then refresh that every 6 months or more often and keep it on review in terms of both the individual, the tasks that they're doing, the loads, etc., and the training and the quality of that training and the impact that it's having as well. Do they understand it and are they following the training and the guidance given? But also varying that task. If I put somebody else and rotate the two every hour on that particular task, and the other task might be, I don't know, putting a lid on something and screwing it on. And if you imagine a factory, certainly in the olden days before this technology, people would be doing a lot of these things manually. So if we split that and they rotate every hour to change between the manual handling and the putting the lid on, then there is a split and you reduce the likelihood of that person being harmed because you have mitigated the volume in which they're doing it. So it really is very simple as looking at the various tools and resources like information sharing, instructions, training, guidance, and reviewing what the effectiveness of any of those that you put in place to make sure that you mitigate the risks, the hazards that can cause harm to people. So consider all the hazards in your office, the ones you can and can't see, like stress, for example, and musculoskeletal disorders from DSE working at our desks. Pop it all into a table and start to put down some very high level bullets as to how you can mitigate people being harmed. I expect there is
already an awful lot of things that you are doing in your role under health and safety that mitigate those, like training and information and policies and so on. You just need to put it in a general office risk assessment. Good luck.
It's funny, isn't it? Because I suppose given his bad experience, that can often be the case, and some people just don't want to give that much control away, essentially. But that point about constantly knocking on the door, metaphorically and physically, is really important, and giving them that alternative. I can save you time if, or more of an office management and PA perspective, if you loop me in, then I can save money, save time, be more proactive, get ahead, give you data and research results that demonstrate this and this and why it won't work or will. There's so many different advantages to it. So it's a really interesting one. Talk now, if you can, please, about your office manager diary. You won't believe it, but moment, Elizabeth.
Going back to Yotel as well, this one stands out. We were packing up the office for COVID, and one of the employers comes up to me and he was like, Elizabeth, when you're gone, because I was furloughed at first, he was like, who's going to put, like, how does the post get on my desk? And I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, well, every morning the post on my desk. How does the postman know? And I'm like, the postman doesn't know where you sit. Like, that is me. I go downstairs, collect the post, and put it on your desk. And it was that kind of invisible thing that there was like a ha-ha, like, oh, how are we going to manage when you've gone?
Oh, my goodness. He thought the postman delivered to everybody's individual desks.
I don't know what he thought. I was like, did you actually think that? And you're kind of like, you can't have thought that. But he might have done.
Those fairies, yeah, it's like, who's going to put, who does the stuff in the dishwasher and all those kind of things?
Well, it actually was twofold. When I came back from COVID, they were then like, oh, how do you get printer paper? And I was like, well, how, I mean, I've been away for 6 months. Yeah, the printer hasn't had paper for 6 months.
Oh my God. Have you heard of Amazon? If I'm not a big believer in doing big corporate orders on Amazon to save the planet, but I mean, Jesus, everyone knows what Amazon is. Got to be living under a rock. Wow. Okay. Very good. So we've talked about the year ahead already. What else have we got planned that we can share about? What else are you looking forward to personally in terms of organising or getting your fingers in every pie involved in?
The big one this week is our autumn show, which is going to be huge.
Quite literally.
Quite literally. So that's been really exciting. So I'm really excited to share with that and kind of get some fantastic seminars in and get some really good exhibitors and kind of show you what we've all been doing and what we've been working on. We really can't wait to host it where we are hosting it.
Mm, yeah, absolutely. And we've still got things like the portal upgrade to come, which I've been working on for bloody ages. Oh yeah, there's so much.
Very excited about that. New website, which I'm really good to get my teeth into, so then we can actually advertise things really well using that. And then of course just the events and making them bigger and better and going to different cities. That's another thing that's on our pipeline, is to venture out, and really looking forward to Bristol, to meeting all the Bristol office managers, but in the future going up to Manchester and any cities you know of that you want us to come to, let us know.
Yeah, we've got the demand. We have got the demand for Scotland and Ireland, Dubai, Australia, America, Paris. We're trying, people. We're trying to get there. So what about career aspirations now? What is in the future for you? It's a difficult one, isn't it, to ask, because there's me sitting here as your employer. But where do you want to be in the future?
I think I said to you during one of our first interviews, I want to grow with the business and kind of become that business partner, that operations manager, that kind of person that has all their fingers in their pies and doing everything. And I think that's what I'm really excited about the future with the office management group, is that that's what I'm kind of working towards. And as we grow, that I'll start learning managing people and doing things like that. So that's what I'm really excited for. And that's, I think a lot of people shoot you down when you say in interviews like, oh, I want to be a career EA, or I want to be a career, but that's what I do. That's what I want. That's what I'm good at.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's really important for me, and you'll probably remember when we did the interviews as well, that I did hire someone who does want to grow the business, because, you know, now you've been 6 months in, you've seen how much is going on. I have the never-ending issue of not stopping creating things. There's a system that we want to create at some point as well, which we haven't spoken about at great length, but you know it's there because I've dropped that a few times into conversations. And yeah, there's still so much more in terms of scope and remit, really, that we want to achieve. And the business has grown significantly over the last year already. And so we've got to just keep pushing that through and trying to meet the demand and what we know our audience want, right, in terms of the courses. Like, we opened up the health and safety course and the DSE assessor course, and you've been working with people to get delegates booked on those. So yeah, there's a huge amount of work in all these different areas that we're working on. We aren't doing the Office Management Awards next year to give ourselves breathing space to do all of this.
Yes.
Because I'm still working on the e-learning course,
yeah,
sitting in the very room we're sitting in now to record this, to try and get that out to everyone that's asking for it. And the awards are really tough, right? And I think this is an interesting one for us to talk about, which is, I sort of floated to Lizzie last year, and I'm going to be very honest with our listeners, but I floated to Lizzie last year when I hired her that I might not do the awards this year in 2024. It's a lot of hard work. It's tiring. It's not a particularly profitable area of the business. So from a business sense, we have to look at that as well and what else we want to try and do and achieve. And you, I think, initially were like, what? Why? It's an amazing thing. Why are you doing... And then tell us about your experience coming on the other side of it and what your opinion is now on just having a year out. We're not going away. We're just having a break for a year.
Yeah, it's been massively stressful. It takes a lot away of a lot of our capacity. It takes a lot of our resources to kind of make them happen, from the very first kind of putting it out there to actually the ceremony. And it's that resource, we're like, we could do something else, we could do this away day. And I think it's sometimes you need to step back from things and be like, okay, how can we improve it? And I think this will give us the breathing space to be able to step away from the awards and say, right, how can we improve it? How can we make it bigger? How can we make it better? And that's what we want to do, and give a lot more opportunity for people to enter, opening it up earlier. All those things we'll be doing. And yeah, it's hugely so much just to get them done.
Yeah, from people nominating and entering,
yeah,
getting sponsors, yeah, judges,
yeah,
selling tickets, the ceremony itself. There's a, yeah, it's a huge amount of work, and we absolutely love doing it, but as you said, it's hard work. It can be really stressful at times.
Yeah,
it's been a root cause for anxiety in me this year,
yeah,
as you know, it being, again, very transparent and honest. So yeah, we've made a business decision, and you've seen the other side of it now, whereas I think you thought I was mad before. But we are going to take a break for 2025, try and do things like the conference, get bigger with our events, and like you say, spread to more cities and locations, do the away day, make sure that we get this e-learning course completely rolled out, and other areas of the portal and everything else that we're looking at, and come back, like you say, bigger and better in 2026.
I also think it gives us the opportunity to come and streamline the way that we do it, look at how people enter, how people are judged, you know, the actual ceremony itself. And it gives us the opportunity, like you said, just to make it bigger and better.
Yeah, keep improving. Okay, as my final question, and I didn't give you a heads up that I was going to ask this, tell them what it's like to work with me, please.
Absolutely chaotic. She'll phone you in the morning and she'll be like, can you do this? And you're like, absolutely. So you'll start cracking away with it. Within an hour, you get another phone call being like, I've just had this idea, I want to do this. And you're like, okay, can I finish doing what I'm doing at the moment?
Yeah.
So yeah, it's chaotic, but it's fun. We do spend hours when we're not together. We do spend hours on the phone kind of chatting, and we talk about everything from Taylor Swift to...
I've become a Swiftie. Elizabeth was already one, and then I was like, have you listened to it? And Liz is like, oh my God, I'm mega Swiftie. So we're trying to get to her concert as we speak. But yeah, we've found a joint fan love of Taylor Swift there. Yep. I've become a mega Swiftie. Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, hugely chaotic, but I thrive in chaos, I think. You know, it is one of those things where a lot of people do say to me, like, how do you do this? And you're just like, yeah, I do.
It works somehow.
It does work.
Yeah.
And I think I would be a bit bored if it wasn't. My life is constantly chaos, and I'm always booked too busy. You're always booked too busy. And Yeah, we make it work.
We do, somehow. Through the madness and the chaos and my creative genes that never seem to stop. I think it's the entrepreneur kind of spirit in me that I never stop thinking, creating, which is my Achilles heel at the same time, isn't it? It's like, just stop thinking of what else we can do, because we can just keep building on what we've
got. Yeah, you can. And I do have to, like, I think it was like last night, I was like creeping away from my computer and I kept getting like slacks being like, I've got this idea and this idea. And I'm like, really need to go and cook dinner.
Yeah, sorry about that. Welcome to my mind. It is literally, if you draw on a piece of paper, just freely and scribble in every which way you can. That's probably what my brain looks like most of the time. So, well, thank you very much for being on the Office Manager Diaries and booking yourself in as a guest.
Thank you for having me. It's been great.
This episode is sponsored by the Office Management Portal, our free online membership platform aimed at connecting, supporting, and empowering office managers in a simple-to-use, all-in-one self-service resource. You can sign up right now at www.theofficemanagementportal.com and click the sign up button in the top right. If you want to upgrade your account to our premium membership at any time for unlimited downloadable templates and monthly expert masterclasses, use the code THEOMD for 25% off. That's THEOMD for Office Manager Diaries for 25% off. Thank you for listening.